I'm going to read beginning in verse 14, and I'll read down through the end of the chapter. Paul writes, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Praise the Lord. That's our burden this morning, is that Christ would be glorified through the church today and each day. Well, in just a moment here, missionary Phil Kamibayashiyama is going to come and preach the word of God for us. And Phil was here as part of our high school, involved in our youth group, and as a result of that, his family became members, faithful members that God has used greatly here at Marquette Manor Baptist Church. And Phil has been a missionary now for many, many years in the Philippines, and God is using him greatly in that capacity. He's had a couple of his boys in our school a little bit during furlough times, and we just appreciate Phil and Mila so much and the influence that they have had on our ministry. So we're looking forward to having him preach for us this morning. But before Phil comes, Mrs. Beverly Van Gelderen is going to come and sing for us. And of course, as most of us are well aware, she and her husband, Wayne Van Gelderen Jr., see, he was my pastor for a while, so he was always Pastor Van, but when you're here, you've got to distinguish the two pastors, Van. And so they ministered here for, I think, 9 years, you know, as a couple before God called them up to Menominee Falls to work, to lead Falls Baptist Church. And Bev is going to sing for us this morning, "When We See Christ." And when we were communicating about that, and she said that was what she and her husband thought she should sing, I was reminded that was Pastor Van's dad's, Pastor Van Sr.'s favorite hymn. So there's special significance even as she sings. So Bev, you come and sing for us, then Phil will preach. Our young people will slip out when Phil comes to preach for Junior Church.
Oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We tempt to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race, so bravely run the race.
I want to add my thanks to all those who have ministered to us, reminded us of God's goodness and grace and love and kindness to all of us here. We have benefited so greatly from being a part of Marquette and, of course, as missionaries, your prayers and support. So it's a privilege to minister God's word this morning. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. And I'd like to give you a chance to stand, and let's read this passage. So if you would stand, and we'll read together James chapter 4, starting with verse 6 until verse 10. So if we could all read out loud together, starting with James chapter 4, verse 6. Ready? Begin. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are so gracious to us. Thank you most of all for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that we have in him. Lord, we pray that you would help us most of all this day to give you the worship that you deserve. Help us in focusing our eyes upon you, in drawing near to you. Enable us, Lord, by your grace to behold your glory and to respond with faith and submission and love and the surrender of anything we need to surrender in our lives. And we do pray this for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So when I was asked to preach at this centennial anniversary, there's a lot of thoughts that came to my mind. One of my thoughts, I think my first thought was, what a great honor, but why me? And I'm still asking the why me question until today. A second thought that came to my mind was, if I'm being asked to preach at a 100 plus year anniversary, maybe that means I'm old. And probably that's a greater reality than I want to admit. But my main thought, and I think my best thought about preaching today, is that this is God's grace, God's unmerited favor to one who deserves disfavor. Of course, just like everybody who's been born into this world, except for Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and depraved, and God in his grace has saved me and delivered me from the hell that I deserve. Amen. And as a church member here, and a student first here, as a preacher ordained here and commissioned, sent out from here, I have failed the Lord many, many times. But God, in His grace, still keeps me. He wants to use me. He works in me. He blesses me. He forgives me. And that is all God's amazing grace. Today, we want to celebrate God's grace. And as you see in various ways here, I think, and down the hall, there's a verse posted that God, through Paul, has spoken to the church at Ephesus the same mission and purpose that we have. We are to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. And why should we be to the praise of His glory? God has blessed us in many, many ways. You could talk about material provision, physical protection, but as Ephesians describes, the primary way, the greatest way, that we that God has blessed us so that we should be to the praise of His glory is that we have in Jesus Christ all spiritual blessings. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. We have been chosen to be His child. We've been predestined to be His child. And that is God's grace. Today's message is to come to Christ because His grace gives us all we need. Come to Christ because His grace gives us all that we need. Disney tries to teach us that by our own power and strength, we can be anything and do anything. But of course, that's a big lie. That's Tower of Babel thinking. But instead, what God does is He lets us fall and fail and have problems and trials and sufferings. And God allows us to feel our weakness so that we realize our need, our desperate need for God's grace. To give God the praise and honor that He deserves for His grace, we need to come humbly before the Lord. And today, ultimately, is a day of worship. And that means we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to realize what we are, our desperate need, and to realize that God meets that need in Jesus Christ, because in Christ is grace. We're going to look at three truths this morning. What is God's grace and why we need it? Number two, where it helps us, to what extent does it help us? And thirdly, how to get it. How to get God's grace. So main truth number one, what is grace and why do we need it? Grace is God's unmerited favor to give us what we need. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved favor to give us what we need. And the first example is God in grace gives us salvation. Salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that in Christ we have redemption, deliverance through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches, the wealth of His grace. We are redeemed, delivered from slavery to sin, delivered from the just wrath of God that we deserve, forgiven by God's grace. And that is why each one of us who are believers should praise God for His grace, not only this day, but every day. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God's grace received through faith in Christ? Have you put your faith, all your dependence, all your hope for heaven in Jesus Christ, in God's grace to save you? God's grace saves gangsters like George Mensick, as we have seen. God, in his grace, saves persecutors like Paul. And God, in his grace, is even working in hearts today. One example is a man in the Philippines that is known as Kitty Boy. Kitty Boy is a man who was in and out of jail for violence, for fighting and stealing. One time he hit his neighbor in the face with a machete. And many fights he's been in. One time he almost lost his life because another man he was fighting with got an ice pick and stabbed him in the back many times. And so Kitty Boy almost died. But he is alive today because of God's grace. He's old now because of God's grace. And greatest of all, by God's grace, Kitty Boy came to us, came to one of our members, and asked for a weekly Bible study so that he can be saved. That's what he said. I want a Bible study so I can be saved. That is God's grace, God's gracious working in a life. But that's not just for people that are obviously needy and wicked and evil. That's for all of us, because all of us, in the sight of God, are wicked and evil and needy. We all desperately need salvation. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says that we were disobedient, deceived, slaves to various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And you know when Paul said that? He was describing himself and other believers. Maybe in our minds we wouldn't put Paul in that category. Wasn't he a very religious, moral man? But Paul is describing himself and other believers. We used to be like this. And we would have to say that we all were like this. Maybe we did not express the evil in our nature as much as someone like Kitty Boy has done, but we have the same heart, the same wicked, evil nature. And we are in desperate need of God's undeserved favor, God's grace. In the last 3 months in our church in the Philippines, there have been three people who have attended church for many, many years, who came to me, and they said that they now finally understand salvation and have now been saved. And that is God's grace also, isn't it? Very religious people attending church, but God in his grace has been so long-suffering to them until they put aside their trust and their religiosity and came to Christ for his grace. Have you told God? Has there been a time in your life where you bowed humbly before him and laid yourself out before God and said, Lord, there is nothing I have done that deserves salvation. I deserve to go to hell. But would you please save me? Have you asked the Lord in his grace to save you? Because the true gospel is the gospel of grace. A second example of how God in grace gives us everything that we need is that God not only saves us, but he also sanctifies us. God's grace sanctifies us. Have you ever noticed in reading the New Testament that all 13 of Paul's epistles say something like, grace be to you from God? And again, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they all begin that way. And did you realize they all end that way also? Every one of those epistles end with something like, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, or be with your spirit. And that is not just a polite way of beginning and ending letters. It is Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, recognizing what believers, the people that he's talking to, are believers, what they need. From beginning to end, we need grace. To do what Paul's epistles tells us to do, to walk in faith, to walk in love, to walk in truth, to walk in newness of life, we cannot do that in our own power. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be multiplied to us. It's God's grace that enables us to live the way we ought to live. Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, that does not mean that the grace of God saves everybody. It means that the grace of God offers salvation to everybody, because the grace of God is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, was incarnated, as God became man. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again. That is the grace of God that offers salvation to all men. But that salvation, that grace, also teaches us that we ought to deny ungodly lusts, worldly passions, and live self-controlled, live righteously, live godly in this present world. Right now, we can live a changed, transformed life. And we should. We ought to. Because we have experienced the grace of God. And we have God's grace enabling us, changing us. That's why Peter exhorts us to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow by grace, but also that means to grow in your use of grace, in your use of God's divine enablement to do what you ought to do, to be what you ought to be. God in grace has provided, as Peter says in 2 Peter also, God has provided all things, everything that we need for life and godliness, everything that we need to live a godly life. You can be changed to live godly, to be godly in every area of your life, and I can also, by God's grace. Daisy was a first-year college student at our Bible college, and she was a rebel. We honestly had a lot of trouble with her. Mila and I had to counsel with her many, many times. She would cut classes, and we would find out that she went to the mall instead of being in our Bible class. And by the end of that year, God had changed her life. She had been saved before, but she was not living for the Lord. But by God's grace, God worked in her heart. And by God's word and by a prayer, Daisy was changed. Today, Daisy is our ladies' dorm supervisor. And she loves discipling ladies and counseling them and ministering God's word to them, the same word of God that she avoided studying and hearing before. How did that happen? That was God's grace, God's working in her life to sanctify her, to change her. Sanctifying grace and saving grace. The third example is sustaining grace. God in grace gives believers strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Meaning, my grace is all you need. It's enough, more than enough. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So God's grace not only saves us and sanctifies us, but God's grace also strengthens us and sustains us. The Lord describes his sufficient grace here as his strength, as Christ's power. So no matter how painful your thorn, Satan's messenger to buffet you, to cause you suffering, the Lord's grace is sufficient for you. The power of Christ can rest upon you. Some of you have very difficult physical trials, far beyond what I've experienced. Some of you have very difficult circumstances and burdens to bear and losses in life. Maybe you experienced great opposition. And really, all of us are far, far weaker than we realize. And this is the great Apostle Paul. And he talked about his infirmities, his weaknesses, and the trials and the loss and the opposition and the burdens are all allowed by God and even brought by God to help us realize that we are weak. Why does God want us to realize how weak we are? So that we could experience his amazing grace, his all-sufficient grace, his power, his strength. Last October, I was brought to the emergency room because the world was spinning in my head and I was in danger of falling whenever I tried to walk. It happened like over a two-day period. And after all those tests, they discovered that the problem was called myofascial pain syndrome in my neck and shoulders. So I was literally stiff-necked. In more ways than one, but physically, I was stiff-necked. And I had to have therapy for weeks and this dry needling thing, lifestyle changes. And it all reminded me that I'm weak. And looking back, I really thank God for that. Why would I thank God for that kind of trial? Because it helps us to be humble and to realize our need and depend upon spiritual power, upon Christ's grace. We can, each one of us, we can persevere in doing the will of God steadfastly, no matter the suffering, by the grace of God. That is amazing. God's grace is amazing. It saves the wicked sinner. It sanctifies the straying believer, and it sustains every believer who suffers. Second main truth here. Where does God's grace help us? Or in other words, to what extent, in what areas, does God's grace help us? Main truth number two, God's grace enables us to do everything we should. Everything that we ought to do, God's grace enables us. And we just saw 2 Corinthians 12:9. That God's grace enables us to stand steadfast in suffering. I remember reading Green Leaf in Drought Time, the biography of the Matthews family, and how they were illegally detained there in China, and they suffered so much cruelty and humiliation, a lack of food and warmth, and medical aid. What sustained them? those many months, it was God's grace. And they not just survived it. We're not talking just about survival. We're talking about being steadfast in the Spirit, spiritually steadfast in the midst of that suffering. You know, you read the biography of Darlene Debler Rose, Evidence Not Seen, there in a prison camp and being tortured and abused and suffering so horrifically. What sustained her to walk out of that with real faith and devotion, and even while I'm as a POW, helping other prisoners, being a minister of blessing to others? That was God's grace. God's grace enables us to stand spiritually steadfast in suffering. God's grace also enables us to serve. Service. God's grace enables us to serve. Acts chapter 14, verse 26 says that Paul and Barnabas sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. They were commended to the grace of God for the work. What enabled them to do the work, to do the service for the Lord? It was the grace of God that enabled them to serve. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which talks a lot about grace, knowledge is a gift of God's grace. Speech is a gift of God's grace, being able to speak. And all these spiritual gifts, these divine capacities, spiritual capacities to serve other people. And we all differ in that. As part of the body, every member is different, and you can do something that maybe others cannot. But you know why you can do that thing? That's God's grace. That's not you. That's not me. It's God's grace. Therefore, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me,